There is a happy land far, far away, where saints in glory stand by brightest day. Oh, how the sweet they sing, worthy is our Savior King. Now let his praises ring, praise, praise, hooray. Oh, to that happy land Christ went away. Who does in glory
thankful to believe this morning that preaching the prophecy of the virgin conception and the virgin birth of Jesus should strengthen anyone's ministry to encourage those to see that God sent His foretelling words unto a man, that man being Isaiah, to not only prophesy about the birth of the Lord. Isaiah was blessed to preach of, or to prophesy of the coming of leaders before those leaders were even born. Isaiah chapter 45 tells us about a man named Cyrus that would be the deliverer of the children of Israel from captivity back unto their native land. And that was before the man named Cyrus was even born. The Lord is able to see those things and to know of them. And He gave them unto those men to write unto the people of Israel to give them encouragement in the way. My mind this morning is in the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And I'm going to start reading with verse 13 and read down through verse 17 of John chapter 15. The word of the Lord reads, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." God's word contains instruction in regard to the subject of friends. And there's instructions that teach us about friendship one with another. You know, the book of Proverbs comes to mind in the 18th chapter, the 24th verse. The first half of that verse tells us that a man that hath friends must shew himself to be friendly. You know, some people would say that I don't have any friends. Well, there's some criteria that you need to remember if you don't have any friends. And one of those might be that a man that hath friends, he must shew himself to be friendly. So maybe you don't have friends because you're not being friendly enough. You know, it's kind of hard to want to be around someone that's not friendly. And so if you want friends, the scripture's telling you to shew yourself to be a friendly person. And folks will want to be around you. Another proverb is, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It tells us sometimes that friendship is necessary to a very direct word is necessary in order to bring a friend into the point of knowledge of understanding that something that they've done is wrong. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And sometimes when they hit us with it, initially it hurts. But you know, it's kind of like a wound on your hand or a blister on your hand. You know, when that blister heals back, it becomes a tougher piece of skin after it's been opened up. And sometimes, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes it's an initial opening that has a lot of pain with it, but whenever it heals back, it becomes even tougher so that you know not to do whatever it is that they've corrected you about again. You're better after the fact, in other words. You know, whenever you're working outside with a shovel while that blister's open, man, that's a hurting thing. And I don't work outside enough now for my hands to be tough. And when we're raking or something outside, I have to find a different grip on the rake, you know, to try to keep that spot that opens up from just continuing to rub. Well, you know, if I work with a rake every day, that becomes a more tougher piece of skin. And it's better after the fact than it was before. And it took the wound in order to make it better. If you remember during the days of David, king of Israel, David had a son named Amnon. Amnon took a liking to his half-sister, who was the sister of Absalom. And her name was Tamar. And he began to have thoughts about his half-sister that shouldn't have been, and wanted her in ways that was inappropriate. Wanted her in ways that it wasn't appropriate for a half-brother and a half-sister to have one another. Wanted her in a way that didn't offer itself much respect for her as a woman. And as I read through that account in the book of 2 Samuel, it's almost as if Amnon would prevent himself from doing that. But the scripture says Amnon had a friend, whose name was Jonadab. Mm-hmm. And he was a very subtle man. He was a friend of Amnon. But whenever you go through and you read the traits about that man, I'm laying the groundwork of where we're going to go here to John chapter 15 in just a minute. There's instructions about friendship one to another, what to do in order to have them, what to be aware of in regards to who your friends are. You know, as I watch my children interact with some other children, I'm not talking about here, by the way. People say, hold on a minute, Brother Will, we see yours running around with our kids. Which one you pin? I'm not talking about here. But there's no doubt that I see some things in some of those children that make me say, I'm going to keep my eye on that one. Whenever that one's mama or daddy corrects him, the response to that correction gives me some kind of light as to what type of upbringing that boy's getting, or the lack of any correction sometimes. The laugh whenever he does something that ought to bring about a correction lets me know where that person is. And the instruction in God's word. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. He was a subtle man, and with the encouragement of that boy, Amnon went forth and carried forth that sin. You say, Brother Will, does that mean, you know, when we're talking about friends here, does that mean we can't have any friend that may not be perfect? Well, I won't say that any of us are perfect. But I'll give you the natural analogy in regards to a friend, and I'll do it with fruit. How many pieces of spoiled fruit have you ever seen make the good fruit that came into contact with that fruit better? You know, we have fruit storage trays. There's three tiers to it at our house. And if you don't keep your eye on one of those bananas that one of them kids have taken a bite out of and put it back up there on the shelf. If you come to our house and we offer you an apple and it's got a slice out of it, we just took the teeth marks right out of where one of ours took a bite out of it. No. But if you don't watch out and you leave something that's spoiled up against that good stuff, you tell me that good stuff is going to make that spoiled one better. It'll never do it. And the same is true about a friend that is a spoiled piece of fruit. It'll ruin that good piece of fruit every time. And you better keep that in mind in regards to friendship. That's person to person. But I tell you, the Scripture is not just filled with instructions on friendship person to person. The Scripture also teaches us about a man named Jesus Christ who condescended and came down as God Almighty came in the form of a man and lowered Himself to the position that here in John chapter 15 He refers to Himself in regards to His relationship with His children and those that follow Him as being His friend. That's something to think about, isn't it? That Jesus Christ would consider Himself to be your friend and would bless you with the privilege to be called His friend. You know, I remember whenever I was growing up, there'd always be somebody in the class that everybody wanted to be friends with. Everybody wanted to be able to sit with that one at the lunch table. And I know I'm treading on some thin ice here, but I'll say it. Sometimes whenever I remember as a child observing it, whenever it would be among girls, I tell you what, I saw some hateful things that some of those girls would do to another one just to sort of keep a small group of friends and to those that were on the outer perimeter. I tell you what, it was tough to see sometimes. But there was usually a ringleader that everybody wanted to be a friend with. And really, if you got to know that one that had those sort of personalities, you'd find out that really there's not a whole lot to want to be their friend for. I'm not saying that's the case every time, but it certainly was true a good majority of the time. But here's a man that if there's anyone that you would ever want to migrate to, that you would ever want to be blessed to be able to be in the circle of the ones that were around him, here's the man of the Lord Jesus Christ, who tells us about these that are blessed to be His friends. And if the Lord will be with us for just a few minutes this morning, I want to look at some of these qualities of these friends that He mentions here in John chapter 15. And I'm going to go through them backwards. That doesn't mean that God should have turned it around whenever He left it here for us in this Word. And if He would have gone through it in the order Brother Will went through it, maybe I could have seen it. No, God's way is always better. But I'm just going to start at the bottom and work my way back to the top because I feel like I can teach it better that way. Don't ever question what God has given us. The day we begin to question what God has given us, the order that He's given it to us in, the way that He's given it to us, we'll begin to question everything in regards to our relationship with God. Here He's given us some things about friends. And these apostles and these disciples that were with Him whenever He spake these words were spoken after He washed their feet in John chapter 13. They were with Him in that room. They were with Him at this blessed point of fellowship. They stayed with Him as He spoke and as he taught them in John 14, John 15, John 16, and John 17. These were the ones that were with Him. And one of the things whenever it comes to the friends of the Lord is that you never need to forget this verse that tells us in verse 16 of John chapter 13, He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Amen. You are a friend of God this morning. If you love God, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love the gospel, if you love to sing those hymns of praise unto God Almighty, I'll tell you this now, it's not because you chose Him, it's because He chose you. Amen. And praise be unto the Lord. And you say, Brother Will, that just kind of bothers me a little bit. Why? What would make somebody think that God just wouldn't choose everybody? It's not about why God just wouldn't choose everybody. It's the blessed peace of mind that we have in looking unto our Lord and saying it's not about whether or not or the fact that He didn't choose everybody. It's glory to God, and to God all the glory is received that He would look down upon me and choose me to be His friend. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He said, I have brought you forth out of this world, not only as His children, but to be His disciples. You know, these men were just going about their own day-to-day lives. They were just going about doing what they were called upon to do. Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, they were mending the nets. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were doing the same for their father Zebedee. They were doing the same, and yet here came a man through this world that says, those boys, I'm choosing them to follow me and to bring forth fruit, and I have ordained you and chosen you to be my friend in this world. In other words, to be ones that I would considered to be close to. You know, a friend by definition is one that you share a common interest with and that you have a concern for. That's what a friend is. That's what the definition doesn't change just because it's Jesus' friend versus a friend one to another on a lateral level. Just because this has a vertical component to it, the definition doesn't change. And whenever it comes to those who walk with the Lord in the truth, He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Many are called, but few are chosen. If you are blessed this morning to be able to be followers of the Lord and to be walking with Him, I cry to you by the authority of the Word of the Almighty God, you're not doing it just because you woke up one day and said, I want to follow God. You're doing it because He's brought you to a place and He's chosen you fit to serve in the kingdom of God. Not chosen me. I've chosen you. It's true in a sonship case. No dead alien sinner has ever just woke up one day and said, I'll choose to follow God today. Didn't happen. A dead alien sinner will never, ever. Listen now. I was listening to a preacher yesterday, and he wasn't one of our folks. And people say, Brother Will, I mean, Tammy, you listening to other folks? Well, he was preaching on a particular subject that has a lot of interest to me right now. And he believes it just like I do. And I wanted to hear some of the points he was making. And he said, before he got going, he said, I'm going to make some folks mad in here today. You know, sometimes to tell it like it is, sometimes that's just the reaction that you're going to get. Well, I'm going to tell you this. By the authority of the Word of the Almighty God, there will never be, there has never been a dead alien sinner that has ever chosen to love God and to serve God. It has never been, and it will never be. But I can tell you this, those who the Lord has lifted up out of the mire of sin and death and has given life unto them, He's given them the capacity to be able to love Him and to serve Him. And to those who He's given life to those who have come into communication and contact with the truth, He's blessed you to be among the ones that would serve Him in the spirit of truth, to be His friends here in this world. His friends. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And it was not because of something that would just be a blessing to you. He chose you so that you would be a blessing to Him. Look at why He chose you. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. He's called you not just for blessings unto you. He's called you to be a blessing unto Him. You know, when that fruit is born, I believe we're blessed to be able to feed from it. But I tell you, whenever we bring forth fruit unto the Lord, I believe we take a good measure of it and shove it to the end of the table down there to the head, to the one who's seated at the head of that table. And I believe He partakes of the fruit that the children of God bring forth. And He says, I've called you and ordained you that you'll bring forth fruit and that you'll be followers of me. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, I shall give it unto thee. I tell you, there's a lot of preaching there. It's not what we're going to get into this morning. But the first of the things I want you to know about this friendship is these are friends because the Lord chose them to be His friends. And I want to tell you, if there's ever been one who has the authority to choose who will be His friends and who will not, it's Jesus Christ, is it not? There may be someone in this world that feel like they have the authority to be able to give those the privilege to be close to them, when really and truly those are the ones that maybe you want to stay far away from. But I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ has the authority to be friends with who He'll befriend and who He'll be around in this world. And He says, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." Not only do these scriptures tell us in regards to friendship of how we are the friend of God, He also tells us about what we're supposed to do as His friend. I've already mentioned about the bringing forth the fruit. But He tells us here in the 14th verse about what the responsibility is being His friend. He said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." By definition, a friend is one that has a concern for another, one that has a common interest with another. And He said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you to do." The responsibility that comes along with being a friend of the Lord is to do the will of God. The responsibility of being a friend of the Lord is to not do the will of man every time. It's to do the will of the Lord every time. And if I could go to a place in Scripture and tell you that every time doing the will of the Lord is the easiest path, and that it'll be sunshine, that it'll be flowers blooming on both sides, that it'll be just as clear blue skies as you can have, I would give it to you. But I'll tell you now, by the authority that authority of this word, that a lot of times doing the will of God is not the easiest thing. It is not. You know, whenever you consider the faithful patriarchs of Hebrews chapter 11, whenever you consider what the Scripture tells us about their lives and about what they endured for the truth's sake, you read it and tell me that there's any way, as Elder Joe Holder said in his Gospel Gleanings, that you can preach a health, wealth, and prosperity doctrine to, if you'll just be faithful, that all these wealthy things will fall upon you. It does not. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look here at the end. And let's see what it says about these ones. Verse 36. "And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." Now, what part of that text do you read about being a sunshiny walk? I don't see it. I don't see it. I tell you, I'm glad for that statement right in the midst of it, aren't you? "Of whom the world was not worthy." In other words, you may have scourged them. You may have brought them forth to a cruel mocking. You may have treated them this way, but you weren't even worthy to have them in your presence. Is the way that the Lord viewed the faithful. Is the way that the Lord would view His friends. And that is that those that are considered to be His friends, He says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And those that follow in the commandments of God, they will be treated like this by this world. You better believe it, because the Scripture tells us that it shall happen in this world. Ye shall have tribulations. And I want to tell you, that's just as true today as it was whenever Jesus Christ spake those words in the next chapter. It's true. And that is the world's treatment of us. But praise be unto the Lord that who cares if you're the enemy of this world? You've got a friend in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ if you'll keep His commandments and do His will and not our own. I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, there's a will of God that the Scripture tells us about in the 6th chapter of this same letter. He says in John chapter 6, and this is the Father's will which has sent me. He says in, I'm going to have to go get it. I know whenever it's going to pop in there, and I know whenever it's not. But I can tell you this, I know where it is in this book, so we're going to go read it. He says in the 6th chapter of the book of John, he says that the work of God is that we might believe on the Son. And the Scripture tells us in verse 29 that Jesus answered and said unto them that this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him in whom He hath sent. You want to know what one of the commandments of the Lord is given unto those that are commanded and are told that you'll be His friend? Is to believe in the Lord. Don't tell me we won't encourage people to believe in the Lord. Believe in the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, whenever you doubt the Lord, what you're doubting is the power of the Almighty. Believe it. Believe everything this book has to say about Jesus. Because everything it says about Him is true. Everything it says about Him that He will do, He will do. Believe it.
Yeah.
Don't just believe half of it.
Amen.
Believe it all. What might we do that we might work the works of God? These folks were asking, tell us what this commandment might be. He wasn't just speaking of those commandments that we just read in the first 5 books of the Scriptures, even though those are good. Tell you what, the book of Deuteronomy never ceases to amaze me of the instructions that the Lord gave those children that is just as applicable in the year 2018 as He gave it whenever Moses pinned it down and gave it to those children out in the wilderness before they went into Canaan land. It's just as applicable now. But what He's saying is the work of God, that they were crying unto it and saying, what might we do that we might work the work of God? This is the work of God, that ye might believe on Him in whom He hath sent. This is His will, and this is what His friends do. They believe Him. There's some responsibility that comes with friendship. You see, the context here is not sonship. Context is friendship. Do we understand the difference between those two things? Because if the context was sonship, He'd therefore be telling you what was necessary in order for you to be His child. But praise be unto the Lord that He's never given us instructions of what we need to do to be His child. He just tells us about what Jesus did, and it's everything in order for us to be His child.
Yeah, amen.
But He's telling us there's some things here. If you want to be His friend, keep His commandments.
Yeah, amen.
Keep His commandments. Follow Him instead of following the ways of this world. Be a friend of Jesus and let this world laugh at you. Be a friend of God instead of a friend of this world. I would to the Lord that if there's a child listening this morning, that they would hear their pastor say, be a friend of Jesus and not of this wicked world.
Yeah.
Let them mock you whenever you don't drink with them. Let them mock you whenever you don't smile at the idea of fornication and nastiness. Let them mock you whenever you behave in such a way as becometh unto godliness as opposed to unto the filth of this world. Let them do it, because there's a Father in heaven that's smiling on you.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be the best of atmosphere to have them mock you. But I tell you, it's a good place to be a friend of God.
Amen.
You say, what encouragement have we to follow the Lord? He's told us that we're friends because of His sovereign will. He's told us that if we'll keep His commandments, we'll be called His friend. What encouragement do we have? You know, when you read Hebrews chapter 11 and you see that life that they had to endure, what motivation do we have? Well, I'll tell you what the motivation is. Is when you consider what verse 13 says. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. The motivation you have is not just self-centered. It's because of what the Lord did for you. Greater love hath no man. You see, Jesus gave us the capacity to do some things. But anything He gave us the capacity to do, Jesus does greater. Do we understand that? Mm-hmm. Greater love hath no man than this. Right. There is no man that loves like Jesus loves. Amen. Can't do it. Can't be done. Even though Jesus gave man certain powers, no powers that were given by Jesus to man are as powerful as the power of Jesus. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee. No man could topple Pharaoh, but God could, and God did.
Yeah.
He may give some powers unto men, but the powers that he gives to man can never surmount or mount up to the power that he has as being God. Greater love hath no man than this. I tell you, whenever you not only consider the power, when you consider, you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, whenever they saw him rebuke the devils and the devils come out of them, those people saw that and they still had the nerve to ask Jesus to give us a sign. You know, sometimes I've been at meetings and I've seen the glory of the Lord lift up a man to preach the gospel with clarity and with power and demonstration of the Spirit. I've seen the song services. I've seen them here, by the way. The Lord blessed us in song. And I'm thankful for it.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I've been in some meeting houses where the song service would enter into a chant. And I will tell you, the people of God would be in unison as they sang gospels, hymns of praise unto the Lord. And I've seen a man get up and declare the gospel in clarity and with power and with the Spirit of the Almighty. And defend what he says from the Bible. And yet there were still some that thought that they needed something else in order to acknowledge that where they had been that night was in the presence of the Lord. And my thought is, what else do you need?
Yeah.
What else do you need? Well, you know, those people saw Jesus perform those miracles, and here they came, even though he brought those devils out of those, and it wasn't enough. Give us a sign. And I tell you, the Lord told them in Matthew chapter 12, there shall no sign be given unto thee but the sign of the prophet Jonas.
Yeah.
That as Jonah was in the belly of a whale 3 days and three nights, even so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And what did he tell them? He said that the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, because the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonas. But I tell you, there's one that's greater than Jonas is here. Even though the Lord gives men the capacity to preach the gospel, he doesn't give it on the level that he preached it. You better believe it. There's one greater than Jonas that was there, and his name was Jesus.
Yeah.
He's greater than anything he gives man. He says that the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, because she traveled to come forth to see the wisdom of Solomon. But he says there's one that's greater than Solomon that's here. Our Lord is greater than all those things. He gives us the capacity to love. He gives men the capacity to have medicinal sense. It's the only way I know how to put it. You know I'm not one of them, by the way I just phrased that, don't you? I get a headache, just give me a few Tylenol. That's the as far out as it goes with me as far as medicinal knowledge. Sometimes Allison asks me about whether or not she ought to do this or that with the kids because they're not feeling good, and I said, oh, just let me pray. I believe I can talk to the Lord in prayer, but you better keep that on your side as far as determining whether or not you ought to do this or that. I remember, you know, daddies sometimes are not the best ones to talk to about that. I remember one time I fell whenever I was 6 years old. Had two of my fingers bent under. I couldn't even pick my hand up. My daddy over there saying, it's all right, it's all right. I made it through a day and a half. And thankfully, instead of taking me to school on Monday morning, my mama took me to the emergency room. I broke both of them. But my daddy's sitting over saying, he's all right, he's all right. Sometimes daddies are not the ones that you want to talk to about medicinal knowledge. Because they got taking care of you and the children on their minds, but not in that sort of way. But I tell you, he gives men the capacity, the idea that we have the capability in our day and time to have an organ removed from someone else,
yeah,
and placed within us and us sustain life. Do you see what a blessing that is?
Yeah.
You know, I've mentioned before about my cousin's child that faces those transplants and they have those obstacles ahead of them. But the idea that God has blessed man to be able to do these things is just marvelous. But I tell you, he hadn't blessed man to do it above his capability to do it, has he?
Yeah.
He's the great physician. He's the one that just with the touch of his hand and just with the word of his mouth, that centurion servant in Matthew chapter 8, he came to Jesus. And whenever Jesus said that he would go to his home, he said, "I'm not worthy that thou shalt go into my home." But he spake and that man was healed by his own voice. He is greater than any of those things. And whenever it comes to the love of God, it is greater than any love that man may be able to have. Greater love hath no man than this. You need some motivation. It's that Jesus Christ loves you greater than anybody else does.
Amen.
You don't have a friend closer in this world. The verse that I mentioned in Proverbs 18, it said, "A man that hath friends must shew himself to be friendly." And then there is a friend that sticketh closer, closer than a brother. And that friend is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You have a greater friend in Him than you can have in anybody in this world. And I tell you, you know, sometimes our love only extends as far as it'll exercise just to somebody who'll love us back. I'll tell you, when it came to the love of the Lord, His love extended down when you wouldn't love Him back. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He loved you in spite of who you were, not for who you were. He didn't love you while you were a friend to Him. No. He loved you before you were a friend to Him. He died for you before you befriended Him. His blood covered your sins before you ever acknowledged the work that He had done for you. That's the man that I believe it's good to be friends with. You need motivation. Greater love hath no man than this. He loves you. If you belong to Him this morning, if you love Him this morning, let me go with a step further. If you love Him this morning, you belong to Him this morning.
Yeah.
All the devils of hell couldn't take you away from Him. He's got you in His hand. As Brother Virgil has already preached from John chapter 10. "And no man is able to pluck them from my hand," my Father's hand. "My Father which gave them me is greater than all. I and my Father are one." Not one soul can take you away from that precious love that Jesus has for you. Not one thing. Not one thing that anybody else could do, not one thing that you could do could remove you from the love of God. He'll love you forever. He has loved you forever. How about that?
Yeah. Amen.
Because He loved you, He entered into an everlasting covenant before the world was ever formed. Well, I tell you, that ought to give us some motivation, hadn't it?
That's right.
And my Lord loves me. You know, every once in a while, you know, every once in a while in the crowds of this world, we just need to remember we're not doing it for us. We're doing it for one that loved us. And His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you have a love for Him this morning, I'd encourage you to be His friend. I'd encourage you to do these things that are outlined that are His commandments. I'd encourage you to appreciate the fact that He'd be willing to even call you His friend.
Yeah.
Call you no longer servants, because a servant doesn't know the will of the Father. He said, "But I'll call you friends because you know my will."
Yes.
The will is given in His Word. The will is given in the preached gospel. If you know that will, you're not just a servant anymore. In other words, an ignorant servant that's just down there shoveling coal and doesn't even know what he's heating up above his head. You know, some people may be working in a servant shop somewhere and never even be able to see the finished product of whatever it is that they're working towards. Well, I tell you, if you've been blessed to be able to hear the message of Jesus, you've heard about the finished product, and that's it. He's coming to get you, and He's going to take you home to be with Him. And you're no longer just His servant. Now you're His friend, because you've been blessed to be able to know what these truths are. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord bless us to be thankful to be the friend of Jesus and be willing to do those things that are required for us to be able to maintain that title. It's my prayer. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
I hope God every blessing to my heart to sing Thy grace, strength of mercy. Ever ceasing, call for songs of gladness. Here's my heart, oh, take and see.